Yeah, I'm in the booth. All right.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Welcome to the Webster Style Magazine podcast. This is episode number 18 of the podcast, and I'm your host, Eldon Hawks. I want to thank you, whether you download the podcast, visit the site, follow us, or tweet us, or however you interact with us. I want to thank you for taking out your time to support Webster Style Magazine. I know your time is precious and it's greatly appreciated. I'm going to jump right into the show. I hope that you've been keeping up with us in the month of May for all of the exclusives and interesting tidbits we've put out there this month. First up, I want to highlight our Women of Webster interview with Regina Rye. She is a very inquisitive and insightful and passionate sister out of Louisiana. So if you have not read that interview yet, I suggest you go to the site and read it. We've had a great number of Bowtie Thursday features. One that stands out to me right now is the feature with P-Squared Innovative Apparel. They have some really great bow ties, so I suggest you look it up and check them out. Also, had a couple of very interesting and unique drink ideas on the happy hour. One that comes to mind is one of the most recently published, the Course Reviver, which seems to be a very interesting and tasty drink, and it will certainly revive your corpse of a spirit if you drink it. So those are just some of the things that we featured on the site in the month of May, and there are a whole lot of others that I won't really get into at the moment. That's why you should go to the site and check it out and see what we've been up to. Oh, I will note, there's a great piece on weekend bags for all you weekend warriors out there who want to remain a little bit more stylish than just your normal duffel bag or briefcase. I have something you can carry with you, store in your overhead carry-on in the airport, take it with you, and still look cool as a cucumber. So check that out. But right now, we had the fortune of talking to a lot of people at AwesomeCon back in April. And one of the individuals that we had a chance to speak to is Dr. Sheena Howard, out of Rider University, and she has published a book entitled Black Comics, Politics of Race and Representation. Now, it wasn't about comic books per se, your Batmans, your Supermans. It was about comic strips like Curtis, like the Boondocks. It stemmed or grew out of her doctoral thesis. So it was a very interesting conversation that we had, and I suggest you, if you have those sort of interests and just want a really good read, check out her book. So next we'll hear Dr. Howard, and then the next person here after that will be me.
Right, and we're here with Dr. Sheena Howard. Dr. Howard, can you tell us about your book, please?
Yeah, this book, Black Comics, Politics of Race and Representation, is based off of my dissertation, which focused on the Boondocks comic strip, so specifically black comic strips. And one of the things that was problematic when I was doing research for my dissertation was that there was no book that I could go to that highlighted black contributions to the comics industry. All of the books that I went to that talk about the history of comics rarely mention black artists, and so this book does just that. It traces the history of black comic strips, specifically from the 1920s all the way until now, and then each chapter is written by someone else so that I could get a more well-rounded, broad book. So there's a chapter that focuses on gender representation, there's a chapter that focuses on cultural gatekeeping in the comics industry, so why some people make it mainstream and why others don't, and all the different layers involved in getting your work published. So
that's great. That's really important, because when I even think of black comic strips, I think of Boondocks and Curtis. I know a couple other ones I can't think of at the moment, but there's not a lot of information about those, not just for African Americans, but for people in general, to really see the contributions of others. Exactly. And that's something we debate about on the show a lot. We always talk about minority characters, minority creators, and how their efforts and those efforts aren't really highlighted as far as history is concerned. So it's really, really good and really important that you're doing something like this.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Especially in comic strips, it's really hard for artists to become syndicated. There's only been about 7 or 8 black comic strip artists who have ever been syndicated, and only one black female. Two, but really one that was nationally syndicated, because the first one was only, focused on black newspapers. So we still have some ways to go.
Okay, now tell everyone where they can find your book.
This book is available at all the major online retail outlets, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, a lot of the other smaller retail outlets. And I do a lot of comic conventions, so I'm usually there selling books as well.
Okay, and do they have a website where they can find you?
Yeah, SheenaCHoward.com.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And we're back. I hope you liked the interview with Dr. Howard. It was really great meeting her in AwesomeCon. And if you haven't read about our coverage of AwesomeCon this year, go back to our post from April. We had a great time there, met a lot of great people, including Dr. Howard. So it was really fun to talk to her. And the fact that, one, the book grew out of her graduate thesis, her doctoral thesis, not just graduate thesis, her doctoral thesis, was really awesome to know that you can get a PhD for writing about something that you love and you're passionate about. So it's just really, really awesome. Now, moving away from the cultural aspects of some of our interests, let's move over to the tech side. And with that, Microsoft has released another Surface. Now, Microsoft has been playing catch up, as some people say, in the tablet arena, an arena that they actually created back in the early 2000s before the invention or introduction of the iPad. But as we all know, Apple put out the iPad and set the world on fire. Now everybody wants to have a tablet. There are a plethora of Android tablets, iPads, and Microsoft jumped into the game in 2013 with the release of the Surface and the Surface Pro, 2012 with the Surface and the Surface Pro. They came back in 2013 with the Surface 2 and the Surface Pro 2. And this year, instead of going small, because the previous Surfaces featured a 10.6-inch screen, they came big, they came large. It's like, let's go big or go home with the introduction of the Surface Pro 3. Mind you, there is no Surface 3, i.e. no 12-inch tablet running just the RT version of Windows 8. This puppy is running full-blown Windows 8, starting with a i3 processor going all the way up to an i7 of varying memory and storage capabilities, starting at 64 gigabytes and going all the way up to, I believe it's 512 gigabytes or something. It's insane. But that high-end Surface is going to cost you a pretty big chunk of change. However, this 12-inch screen is, for some people, that sweet spot, that ideal form factor where you can have your tablet, it's going to be a little bit larger than your iPad and maybe not as pleasant to hold, but it's light, it's a little under a pound and a half, if I remember the stats correctly, and it looks to be a really interesting all-in-one device for some people. And I will say, my main computer is a 11.6-inch tablet, Microsoft Windows tablet that I upgraded to Windows 8 because originally ran Windows 7 when I purchased it a couple of years ago, and that is my end-all be-all. I use it for everything, so I can really see how this 12-inch Surface Pro 3 can be the end-all be-all for someone who's looking for both a tablet and a PC. It could replace someone's laptop if they're so inclined. However, you know, for some people, they need that hard keyboard, they need to open and close it. However, Microsoft has really, with this third time maybe the charm, for the Surface really gaining traction in public awareness and also sales. They aren't making any money off of it, but Surface sales are nowhere near iPad sales. So who knows? The Surface Pro 3 may be it, with the lowest one going for $799, but you're going for $799 with 64 gigabytes of memory, expandable with a micro SD card, and starting with an i3 processor. If you're looking for a tablet and a computer, you have all in one, that price really isn't that bad compared to you're paying $499 for a 16 gigabyte iPad Air. Just do the math. So That's the tech part. It's May 30th right now as I'm taping, and it is not that bad outside, but we've had a lot of hot days, which let you know that summer is coming, at least on the East Coast of the United States. And with that, time to think about summer style. Spring here on the East Coast has been weird. It's been hot, it's been cool, it's been spring-ish, but spring always seems like it goes so fast and goes right into the summer weather. So it's almost like that spring and summer style kind of just goes together. There's no sort of differences between the two, because you end up wearing whatever you bought for spring and the summer and vice versa. And one perfect style or perfect accessory that fits both the spring and the summer is the boat shoe. Boat shoes have been around, at least in its modern incarnation, since around 1935. They are a very light shoe. You are typically supposed to wear them without socks. I haven't seen too many people wear them in socks. So if anyone, even me personally, I've only gotten up on boat shoes in the past couple of years to replace some of my sneakers and other shoes that I wear to be sporty or have some sort of light casual fare during the spring and summer. But boat shoes are awesome because you can get them in so many different colors. You can get them made of leather, you can get them made of canvas. It's just really awesome, the sort of variety that you can have with the shoes and really accessorize to go with whatever your outfit you're wearing, whether you're wearing jeans, whether you're wearing shorts, whether you're wearing khakis or chinos. Do not wear them with dress slacks. Just don't wear them with dress slacks. But they are such a versatile piece of hardware, so to speak, to have in your wardrobe that you should definitely get a pair or two right now, because it's spring, summer-ish now, and you're going to need them for those beach parties, for those outdoor cookouts. They're going to be a really great accessory to your spring and summer wardrobe. So I suggest you go out and pick up yourself a pair today. And that's going to wrap us up for the 18th edition of the Webster Style Magazine podcast. Be sure to contact us on Twitter at Webster Style, on Facebook at our Webster Style Magazine fan page, on our website, obviously, WebsterStyleMagazine.com. Email us, info@WebsterStyleMagazine.com. Instagram, Webster Style Magazine, Webster Style Mag. And YouTube, Webster Style Mag is our handle. Or feel free to give us a call. Drop us a message at area code 571-32-STYLE, 571-32-STYLE. And a special thanks to our man, Jay Hill, the singer, who's provided us with our intro and outro music entitled Changes. Be sure to check him out at jhillthesinger.bandcamp.com. And you can dress however you want. You can follow trends, you can follow styles, you can be fashionable, whatever that means. However, you can be stylish, but most of all, always remember to be you and stay true to yourself and be who you are. Take care. Peace. I love you, but this ain't going nowhere. I feel like being